Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Alexander Audio, and today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware, and we're going to talk today about website design and placement, placement meaning how to make sure people find your site, for Alexander Technique teachers. Imogen has designed quite a few websites for Alexander teachers, I think in three continents and four or five countries. And we'll put a link to a page where you can see all of those sites. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Robert. Glad to be here.
So for somebody who's an Alexander teacher who's contemplating a website, what are some very basic considerations they should take into account when thinking about what it should look like?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize that it doesn't need to be complicated and over fancy. And in fact, sometimes those things are really distractions or counterproductive to the site as a whole. What we really want, or what you really want, is a site that is clear, simple, easy for visitors to move around from page to page, in language that people who know nothing about the Alexander Technique can understand. Yeah.
I would just adding to that, I would say one of the design failures, if you like, that I've seen a lot is overuse of Alexander jargon, particularly on the homepage of a site. Photographs of F. Matthias Alexander, which might be useful to have somewhere in the site later on, if you like, but not necessarily meaningful to someone who's never heard of the Alexander Technique.
Yeah, completely, completely agree. I think you've really got to look at what you're saying as if you've never heard of any of it. And so if you're using words like inhibition, direction, use, primary control, people are just going to, you know, shut down. They're like, oh, I don't understand what this is about, and move on to something else. Mm-hmm. So you need to put it in language, express things in ways that people can relate to and can see the benefit of. I think that's maybe a key thing too, that people can maybe understand the benefits. They're not really that worried about how it happens, you know, at that point, you know. So, as well, I think you're completely right about the picture of F.M. Alexander. I mean, that is sort of like an in thing too. We know who he is. We know, you know, what that's about. But to anyone else, this is just some outdated looking picture of a, you know, an older man in black and white. And how is that relevant to my back pain or me playing the violin?
Right. You know, which doesn't mean you can't have a picture of or descriptions of things like direction and inhibition if somewhere later on in the site, but not on the homepage.
You have a page that's describing those things. If you wanted write something more in depth that uses those terms, do make sure you define them though in a way that people could understand what you're talking about. A page about the development of the Alexander Technique, perfect to have a picture of him. It makes sense, but really I'd steer away from it on the homepage.
And I would say another thing to be a bit cautious about is photographs of you teaching. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't use them, but be very careful in your choice of pictures. A photograph of you with your hands around someone's neck can be a kind of off-putting for some people.
Yeah, if they don't know anything about it. So again, in the same way that you're going to think about the words critically as if you've never heard about the Alexander technique, look at the photos as if you've never seen or know anything about it and see if whether they would be appealing or off-putting. Yeah. And again, on a page that's maybe not the home page that's describing more what happens in a lesson, photos could be used maybe a little bit more, in detail with text explaining a bit. But that's really not the function of the home page, which really sort of a general sort of welcome to your site.
And one other pet peeve of mine is the excessive use of skeletons and skulls. It is astonishing. And again, we might see that as kind of fitting into our work in some way, but the average person coming to that is very likely to be put off by it. So, on the things maybe that you should do on your home page, the two most crucial pieces of information that are often left out are the word or the phrase Alexander technique near the top, easy to see, and your location.
Yeah, location is huge, and there's so many sites that hardly mention it. And there's a number of reasons why you really want to make that prominent and easy to find. At the most basic level, you want the people looking at your site to know quickly where you are, and that's completely going to determine whether you think if whether they think you're relevant, to them, whether they're going to call you if you're in a different state or a different country. That's not, they need to know that. But at another level, that's also extremely important. One of the ways that Google will categorize you in the way people search for you is searching for someone in a certain location, Alexander Technique, Wilmington, Delaware. And so if I didn't have those words near the top of my site and in my site, it wouldn't find me and wouldn't connect me with that. And I certainly want to be found if someone's looking for an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware.
It is astonishing how many Alexander Technique websites, it's almost impossible to tell where the person is.
Sometimes you have to really do some detective work. Like you can maybe start figuring it out from where a lo where the location of a workshop is being held, but that might not be true. I mean, people do workshops not necessarily in their hometown, so it's you really need to make that clear. And along with that is your contact information. Make that easy to find. I recommend you have it on your home page, have it maybe on every page, maybe have a page devoted to contact information, all of the above. I don't think you can kind of really that you can't emphasize that too much. You need people to be able to contact you and make it easy for them to find that information on your site.
Yes, absolutely. I think the thing to understand is, the web's been around for a fair amount of time now, and people have developed certain habits of looking at websites. And people on the web, given that there are trillions now of websites out there, people make a very quick judgment about whether this is something they want to spend more than a split second on. And if they come to your site and, oh, it says Alexander Technique, something which they may have some interest in, but they don't even know where you are or the contact isn't immediately visible, they're very likely just to move on. If they're doing a Google search, they'll just go to the next one down. They're not going to, people aren't going to spend a lot of time trying to uncover any mysteries in your website. I think
Yeah,
that's
and that
maybe
com
the way to put it.
yeah, and that completely ties into the language you use and keeping it simple. I would recommend you have headings that stand out, have bullet points maybe, or bolded words. So everything makes it easy for people who are scanning to pick out the words that might, be relevant to them. long reams of text is not going to do it. So.
Absolutely not. No. And I guess one other thing that we've talked about in the past from time to time, as far as your contact information, your email address, make sure that it actually works. Send yourself an email. There is a shockingly large percentage of Alexander Technique websites where the email link doesn't work properly, or it goes to an email account that the person isn't using anymore, or maybe only checks every half a year or a year. Honestly, sending an email directly to an Alexander teacher from their website that I've not been in contact before is a very iffy proposition. I have no idea whether the person actually gets it or not. I might hear back from them in 6 months, "Oh, I just checked this account and saw you wrote me." So that's something, that's just a little bit of housekeeping that's extremely important though.
And you put your email on address on your website for a reason, is that you want people to contact you. You want potential students to contact you. So you need to check that email account regularly. I mean, I would say every day, but every couple of days, people aren't going to wait around. In fact, I think a lot of people expect almost instant with texting and messaging, you know. So if you don't get back to people within a couple of days, you've probably lost them. So.
And I don't know whether you agree with me on this or not, but personally, I find it annoying when instead of just a straight email link, you have a form to fill out where you have to enter your name and your email address, and sometimes they'll say they want other pieces of information. It takes a lot longer for a person to do that. And again, given the sort of speedy nature of our internet society, I'm guessing a lot of people are just going to say, "I'm not going to bother with that." So, I don't know. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but I mean, I see what you're getting at. I think if you do have a form on your site, I mean, really all you need is their name, email, and a place for them to write their message. That's basically what they want to do. So I think at that point, you don't need to be collecting any more information than that.
I certainly wouldn't go asking for people's phone numbers or addresses or anything like that.
Not
That's
that.
very off-putting.
Yeah.
We've talked about some design considerations, but I think we should probably say a word or two about why it's so crucial for an Alexander teacher to have a website.
Yeah. Well, I just think these days, if you don't, it doesn't look like you're really practicing. It doesn't look like you're professional. It's the web is how people look up information. And so if you may think, oh, well, I have my name and number on my professional listing. But I think if they look, people are looking through that list, and some people have websites and some people don't. I know personally, when I'm choosing someone for some other service, I like to go to the website. People want to see who that person is, want to know about them before they call or email. And I think you're losing out if you don't have a website. It's just as important as having a phone number, maybe if not more so, actually. I
Yeah,
don't know.
it's a couple of years ago I said, it's almost like not having a phone number, not having a website. But I think at this point, it's almost more important than having a phone number. And yet, a very large percentage of Alexander teachers don't have websites. Or if they have websites, they are have some serious flaws, either in terms of design of the kind of thing we've been talking about, or just ability of people to find them. Maybe it would be useful to talk very briefly about once you have a website, what should you do to make sure that people can find it? What would be the first obvious steps from your point of view?
Well, the first steps would be to make sure it is listed in every place that you are listed. For instance, on your professional organization's website, on your website on alexandertechnique.com, that is one of the first places people land on the web if they simply search Alexander Technique. In fact, I think it is the first place people land if they search in Alexander Technique.
Right.
And if they want to find then a practitioner, you have a list of people with websites, of teachers with websites. You need to be on there. So I think making sure that relevant places list you and list your website. Is this the kind of thing you were getting at?
Yes,
from the
absolutely.
Question?
Yeah. Yeah. And then exchanging links with perhaps local
yes.
companies that are have some relevance, perhaps. Say there's a often in a city there might be some sort of health related sites that would list practitioners of various modalities, and you should
yeah.
certainly be there.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to live, say, in Washington, D.C., there's, for example, there's a kind of a meta site or a site that lists all the teachers in
yeah.
the D.C. area.
And some of the training schools do the same thing. ACAT does that, mm-hmm. Has a directory of their teachers. And, you know, so anywhere that has a directory that you're involved with or that you have a relationship with, make sure you get your website on your listing, and vice versa. You want to put links to them on your site too. The more links that you can build up between you and other sites on the web, the better. It sort of creates mm-hmm. more visibility for your site, and it's one of the ways that Google and other search engines rank you. I mean, it's somewhat a mystery exactly how they do that, but we do know for sure that having sites linked to you back and forth and sort of having activity between your site and other sites creates more presence for your site, and it's going to boost your rankings.
Absolutely. So you might consider exchanging links with other Alexander Technique mm-hmm. sites that are just personal sites as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that does suggest that in terms of getting back to the design issue, it's pretty useful to have a page on your site devoted to links. Links
yeah,
page
or that's one.
Yeah, or resources or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely, that's one way to do it. But, you know, there's plenty of other places it's useful to have links on your site too. On your page that's just about the Alexander Technique, you could have resources for that at the bottom of the page or throughout the page,
mm-hmm.
link within your text when you mention things, or
mm-hmm.
on the page about you and you mention where you trained or who you're certified by, or, you know, just, you know, create that throughout mm-hmm. your site, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, links, links are what really makes the internet in some ways. It's kind of the currency
it's
of the internet.
Thing. Yeah.
It's because the internet is all about connectivity, and what does not work on the internet is any attempt to kind of be uniquely in isolation. That just doesn't work. No one's going to find you. And mm-hmm. and I think it might be useful to say here that I've found that some people, and certainly some Alexander Technique teachers, have a somewhat of a misconception about what links represent. Links are not necessarily endorsements. They are just links. They're just, mm-hmm. hey, here's something you might want to look at. But you don't have to like everything about a site to link to it. I link to hundreds of Alexander Technique websites, and some of them represent versions of the technique that don't appeal to me at all, but that doesn't really matter. It's just about providing information, enhancing connectivity.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if you're saying I recommend this site, it has to be one that you would recommend.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're just giving a list of related links that
exactly.
could be of interest, you don't, yeah.
You don't, yeah, you might decide to recommend a particular mm-hmm. site, absolutely. I guess that we should say that in general, having a website is kind of the first, and for some people could be the only step in accessing the power of the web for their practice, creating, having the site created or creating it themselves and having it properly positioned on the web. But of course, a website can be a platform for a lot of other things that I think we're going to talk about in a second conversation, using audio and video resources, Facebook, Twitter, email lists, that sort of thing. This might be a good time to just say a word or two about the service that you provide for Alexander Technique teachers, particularly teachers who they want a website, they have some material they could put on a website, but they just don't want to bother learning how to do it.
So I offer a service to provide low-cost websites to Alexander teachers. Basically, I wanted to come up with a way that's sort of not as expensive as a custom site, but is a lot more flexible than some of the sort of free template sites out there. And so what I came up with was five-page websites in three basic layouts, and you can get more pages if you want. So you can have up to five pages. And the cost right now, it's what is it, June 2011,
Yes.
is for the most basic site is $200. My prices will be going up a little by the end of the year, but just to give you an idea that that is not, an extraordinary amount of money.
Right, that is incredibly cheap, actually. And I think a lot of teachers have an idea that a website's going to cost thousands of dollars.
And they can.
And they can, although I will say that often when people spend thousands of dollars, they get a site that's not as useful as a less expensive one because it has a lot of flashy stuff that actually can put people off, make it hard to download, etc., etc. So I would say the kind of sites that Imogen produces are very attractive, very functional, and you really don't need to spend more than that unless you want to have her do something a little more elaborate, which she certainly can do.
Yeah, I mean that's the basic. You can add more pages, you can add more things into your site, which would raise the cost a little bit, but it's still, it's going to be a fairly low cost site.
Right.
So.
And Imogen will also take care of updates. So if you're teaching a workshop somewhere and you don't want to, say, learn how to do the changes yourself, which is again totally understandable. You just email Imogen and she'll do it for you for a modest fee. The other thing, of course, besides the website, you do need a place to host it. That is, it needs to be on the web where people can access it, and that's called web hosting. And Imogen and I cooperate on that in that I will do the hosting for you. For usually it works out to $75 a year. So that's pretty much your total expenses. A couple hundred dollars for a website, $75 a year for hosting. If you have your own domain name, which is probably a good idea these days, we're talking another $10 a year. And the two of us will talk you through everything you need to know about that whole process.
Yeah, so if you're not interested in any learning any technical stuff or being at your computer any more than absolutely necessary, I mean, this would make it a perfect solution for you.
Right. And I think a lot of Alexander teachers are in that situation. I mean, we're busy working on our practice and teaching and maybe other demands. And to learn what you need to learn to create a website and to take care of the technical stuff, that's not something that necessarily it pays to do for most teachers. Why
Yeah, I
bother
mean,
if you can outsource it? Which
right.
is, yeah.
Yeah, if you are handy on the computer, there are some ways, free ways to create a website yourself without having to need to use code or anything. But again, I think for a lot of people are not interested in spending a lot of time with that.
Yeah, there
But
are options along those lines.
absolutely.
And I think the other thing that I think we're probably kind of coming to the end of what we need to talk about in this podcast, is if you have a website, if you're an Alexander Tech teacher that already has a website and you feel that maybe some changes might be useful, particularly after you've heard this conversation, Imogen can take care of that for you as well. And I think you've done that for several teachers,
I
right?
have done that for a few. I mean, it does depend a little bit on the format it was written in, but for most sites, I'll be able to get in there and make some little changes for you if you just need some updates to your text and what have you. So,
Right. So, is there anything else that we should cover, do you think?
yeah, no, I don't think right now. I think if we're going to move on to Facebook and other things, that's probably better left for the next conversation.
We're going to move into 21st century stuff in the second conversation. We'll put a link to it by the interview, but Imogen's Alexander website page is alexandertechniquewebsites.com, and you will see information about what she offers in terms of design, and you can see a gallery where she has all the websites she's created, and you can take a look, and you might say, "Oh, I like the way you did so and so's site, but I'd like to change the color scheme, whatever." Imogen can do that. My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. Thank you so much for being on the show.
A pleasure. Thanks, Robert.